Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined by staff writer Jane McGrath.
Hey, Candace.
Hey, Jane. Do you remember a couple podcasts ago when we talked about Rosie the Riveter?
I do.
And the topic of revisionist history came up.
That's right. And how people had sort of misinterpreted what Rosie was.
And the great thing about revisionist history is that you have the freedom to go back and correct these misconceptions about the past, as long as you're doing it in a scholarly and authentic and well-researched sort of way.
That's right.
And to my knowledge, one of the most constantly revised stories is the discovery, if you can even call it that, even that word has been revised, of America. And I know when I was little, I was taught the whole, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. He wanted to prove to everyone that the world around it was not flat. And he may very well have done that, but I also learned that he found America. And then I learned later that that's not exactly the truth.
That's right. Yeah, people jump on that story a lot, saying, you know, he didn't discover it. There were plenty of people there, obviously, so you can't use the word discover.
It's a very egotistical thing to do, to say that just because, you know, you're from a different civilization and you're imposing your laws and your culture on another land that you've discovered it.
You haven't really.
You've visited.
Yeah. It's very Eurocentric, which a lot of people in the past 50 years or so are really jumping on. They want to take the emphasis away from Europe and be like, we should have a worldly perspective on things.
Yeah. So Columbus, just because you had cuter breeches than some of the other explorers out there, doesn't mean you get to claim America. And we know for a very, very true fact that people from Asia came over to America long before Columbus. We're talking some 10,000 years ago when they crossed the Bering Land Bridge from Siberia into what is now modern-day Alaska.
Yeah, they think that's how it was originally populated.
Right. But there's a scholar named Gavin Menzies who wrote a book back in 2003, I think, called 1421, The Year China Discovered America.
And this caused a huge splash. First of all, it was hugely popular. It got like the bestseller list and everything like that. But it wasn't well received by a lot of the so-called respected historians.
We're talking anthropologists, archaeologists, historians, and what's more, linguists. All these people who would be very involved in studying the way that a culture attaches itself to a land and the way that people interact and how trade occurs. All these different pieces of evidence, tangible and non-tangible, that would prove a culture had been assimilated into another.
That's right. And according to Menzies' theory, we should emphasize that the Chinese actually arrived in America, explored it about 7 decades before Columbus even set foot there. Mm-hmm. And the story goes that this Chinese admiral, Zhang He, I believe it's pronounced, I'm not sure, but he, it's well known that this guy went on extensive trips and he explored a lot of the world, but it's not accepted that he actually went all the way to America. Menzies claims that he in fact did. And we should mention that, you know, this guy in his own, he was a great explorer, and he had these ships. The Chinese ships were called junks, and they were gargantuan. They were they dwarfed the ships that actually Columbus sailed on.
Well, and he was part of the Ming Dynasty, and yeah. They had what, like a 28,000-person fleet?
Right. Yeah, that's what I. Yeah, yeah.
So the ships had to be pretty big to mm-hmm. accommodate all of those sailors. And just like sailors from the Western Hemisphere had their own thoughts and theories about the sea, and they had their, you know, mythical colony of Atlantis. These Chinese sailors had their own ideas about the sea and exploration, too. And one of the things they believed in was Fusang. And I'm not sure if I'm getting the pronunciation quite right, but please forgive me. Fusang was this mythological or legendary land, really analogous to Atlantis. And then a couple years ago, a Baptist missionary named Dr. Hendon M. Harris found a map of what he thinks was Fusang, and he noted that it looked a whole lot like North America. And what's more, the map noted all of these geographic and topographic likenesses between North America and Fusang. It even showed something like the Grand Canyon. And people started to wonder, well, how would the Chinese have such an intricate knowledge of North America if they mm-hmm. hadn't been there?
That's right. And Harris tried to write about this and advertise it to people to make it known. And not a lot of people jumped on board with his ideas until Menzies came along, and he really loved it. And actually, Menzies is a kind of amateur historian. He really has naval experience. He was in the British Royal Navy, and that's really the experience that he calls upon to claim that he can make these interpretations, because he claims that he can read these maps better than like normal historians can. He can read the maps and the charts. And there was actually another map called the 1418 map, I believe, that shows oceans in 7 continents accurately, and they believe that this, you know, proves beyond a doubt that, like, the Chinese knew much more than we thought they did.
And I think that this 1418 map even shows formations like the Potomac River exactly yeah. where they're supposed to be.
That's shocking.
And the continents are the right size, and they're in the right locations. And Menzies is claiming that not only did the Chinese explore the world first, but also the Europeans used Chinese maps to guide them to the New World.
Right.
Go figure.
That is, it's really bothering a lot of historians that he's making these claims, too, because, you know, they've based their lives studying things that Menzies is calling all falsehoods. And so Menzies is pointing this and saying, hey, I know I'm getting a lot of critics, but like, look at what their stake in it is.
One of the problems with the 1418 map that the critics have pointed out is that China, as far as it's depicted on the map, it's sort of a mess. Like, it has a blobby shape. It's not really true to form. And it's not emphasized and delineated as clearly as it should be. Mm-hmm. If the Chinese, in fact, drew this map of the world, you would think that if they had made this discovery, they would have really put a lot of emphasis on their own land.
Yeah, you think if they knew anything, they would know that very well. And also another point that critics point to is that the map is based on the fact that the world is round. And historians are pretty confident that the Chinese did not know this at that time.
So with all of these glaring loopholes in the theory, why on earth would Menzies continue to pursue his studies? And the answer is that there are a lot of really strange coincidences going on. There are a lot of Native American folk stories that support the fact that the Chinese were there.
Mm-hmm.
I think that even one of the Incan rulers had a legend that he communicated with a Chinese admiral who taught him how to govern his land. We know that the Native Americans had horses, and while for a while historians presumed that the horses came from Europeans, some people presume that they came from the Chinese now, because we know that Chinese soldiers used horses very, very religiously in their cavalry.
That's right. The story is that the Spaniards brought horses over to the first time to America. I mean, giving us aside that his horses were actually brought over originally, but went extinct like thousands and thousands of years ago. Now they think, or at least Menzies think, that China was actually the first one to bring it over after that.
And what's more, in the Pacific Northwest, archaeologists have found Chinese coins in 8 different places. And then somewhere else in the Midwest, they found a Native American garment that has, it's about 300 years old as far as they can date it, but it has Chinese beads on it. So people are wondering, well, where do these things come from?
Mm-hmm.
If the Chinese Chinese weren't here working with these people.
One of the stories that I find really interesting is a different take on the story I was told in history class, which was had to do with the Aztec Emperor Montezuma. And the story was, everyone knows, is that Cortez went to meet Montezuma, and the emperor mistook him for a god. And that's how Cortez was able to sort of infiltrate. But Menzies actually postulates that that Montezuma actually mistook Cortez for his grandfather returning from the East, as if he were familiar with Eastern people at that time.
And so Menzies' interpretations, they certainly seem to hold water. But when you look at some of the common factors that are just missing from the Chinese coming to America first story, you have to stop and say, no, that can't possibly be. Like, we know that when the Norse came, the Vikings came, they were there about 1,000 years before Columbus came, 70 years before the Chinese would have been there. And we can still see today, even though they're in ruins, the stone outposts that they built. So if the Chinese came, where are the standing artifacts, you know, the ruins, the structures that they would have showed the people how to build, and vice versa? And why didn't the Chinese take back things like gold and corn and tomatoes like the European fleets did when they came back to Europe from the New World?
That's right. There's no smoking gun that really Menzies can point to. And another thing is that some historians, notably Robert Finlay, has pointed out that the Chinese could not have nourished the horses that they supposedly brought over on their ships. Apparently, horses need a certain amount of water, obviously, and they were surrounded by salt water, and they didn't have the desalinization processes that would have been appropriate to feed all these horses.
Water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. How about that? And actually, one historian in particular, Dr. Jeff White, he is so riled up about the glaring inaccuracies and inauthenticity of Menzies' account that he has filed a complaint against the UK publishers who published Menzies' book. And I'm using air quotes, even though you can't see them. He called it Menzies' history book. And you can feel the derision just rolling off of that description. He's very upset about it.
And he makes some stark claims. He's like, oh, look at this map. He even claims that one of the maps that Menzies uses evidence is a fake, that it was made for Menzies.
Isn't that wild? And we all know how to do that. You sort of, you know, roll it in ground coffee and then you burn the edges so it looks really authentic and old.
He actually points to evidence that, like, this map was drawn based on Jesuit maps of the 17th century because it makes the same mistakes. The mistakes that California was an island and et cetera, et cetera.
That China was at the center of the world and the text was translated into Chinese from Jesuit.
Right.
So there you go. But if you want to talk about another smoking gun, I guess you could say, to borrow Jane's phrase again, when the Ming Dynasty eventually collapsed, the dynasty that overcame it wanted to bury all evidence that had ever existed from the Ming Dynasty, wanted to cover up all their accomplishments, everything that they had done, because they were establishing a new rule and order.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you can never prove that Menzies is wrong because all this evidence is destroyed. And critics actually point to Menzies' arrogance in this area, saying, Menzies is quoted as saying, there's not one chance in a million that I'm wrong. And so he's sort of sticking in the face of these respected historians, that you can understand how upset they can get over this, you know?
Wow, that's some pretty amazing hubris right there. But whether or not it is true, we may never know, but it is testament to the fact that history isn't a stale and finalized topic of study. It's constantly changing, and
that's
revisionist
true.
History really points to that, and that's what's so exciting about it. Not that you can be an amateur historian and go out there and fabricate maps and make up your own theories about who found what first, but that this is a field of study that's open to, you know, the new and rising
and
young
so,
people in the profession.
And it's so popular, too, because one thing about Menzies' fame is that he was able to create a website around it, and people would respond with their own evidence. They're like, ooh, there's a junk buried off the coast of where I live, and you know, I know, and like people are just coming in, and Menzies is actually writing a sequel, or he did write a sequel based on like evidence that he got submitted from fans.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of submitting evidence from fans, if you ever have an idea for one of our history podcasts or have a history question that you want to know, go ahead and email me and Jane at podcast@howstuffworks.com. Just put history in the subject line, and we'll be happy to tackle some of your queries. And in the interim, to satisfy your desire to learn more about China and some famous Chinese rulers out there, be sure to check out HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.